You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Yes, hello, welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Looking ahead to a couple of events this week, we have the ISPS Honda World Super 6 in Perth. We've also got the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am as well, so a good event to look forward to on the PGA Tour, and an interesting one to look forward to on the European Tour. My name is Mark Walton, filling in for Dave Kellner this week, but we've still got Dave Tindall in the studio. Thankfully, somebody on this podcast will know a little something about golf.
Hopefully.
Where is Dave Kellner? Is this 2 weeks in a row he's not been on now?
Yeah, he claims he's doing some TV stuff, but whatever.
He's in danger of losing his place, that's what I hear.
Yeah, exactly.
Start a petition, get Dave Kellner off. And Alex last week, of course, did put up a winner, didn't he?
Proved a very capable stand-in. Yeah, he put up Phil Mickelson at 50s. And it'd probably be a bit... I've not seen him since, but... I presume he has been in. He's not sort of crying in a corner.
He's actually in the other studio right now.
Yeah. Mickelson should really have got the full each way payout, but he double bogeyed the last hole to slip into one of those annoying ties where, you know, your profits suddenly get eaten away. So that was very unlucky, but a good pick from Alex there with Mickelson 50-1. Very good.
Yeah, we'll talk a bit about Mickelson this week as well, but he's on his way back to form, and he does well in this event that's coming up this week.
Yeah, he's a four-time winner at Pebble, so certainly one to watch.
I'll have more on that later on. With regards to last week, big result for Gary Woodland as well, wasn't it? He ended a five-year winless run on the PGA Tour with that victory in the Phoenix Open, beating Ches Reavie in that playoff in front of the largest crowd in PGA Tour history. It looked raucous, didn't it?
It certainly did, though.
Especially for golf.
In Phoenix, it's kind of... It's like not really a golf crowd. It's more like a sort of student crowd who were going mental. And great to see Woodland. I mean, we've put up Woodland so many times in this podcast without getting a win. Of course, what happens? We leave him out and then he goes and wins. But I think it had been coming and we just didn't quite get the right week. And we might even... I've put him up the week before, possibly. Right. But, good, a really, really good player. He's worked a lot with Butch Harmon, and I think that had been coming. And, we missed out, though. Drat. Darn it.
Did you take anything out of the Maybank Championship as well? Anything catch your eye there particularly? Or?
Not particularly, as in we didn't get any profits, but the young Indian lad, Shubhankar Sharma, who took the trophy. That's two wins in the space of no time at all. He won in South Africa as well.
Right.
So suddenly you got Hao Tong Li winning in Dubai. So you've got a Chinese player and an Indian player. I mean, golf's global reach is suddenly, you know, these countries maybe you didn't think of as golfing powerhouse as well, are starting to get young players through now, are winning decent events.
Fair enough. Let's move on to this week. We've got a couple of events to go at. We'll start with the European Tour event as well, as we always do. ISPS Honda World Super 6 in Perth. It's at the Lake Kirinyup Country Club in Perth. I know where that is. It's an Alex Russell design, par 72, 7,142 yards. All sounds very normal with that respect. But it is a very unique format. Stroke play for the first 54 holes, so for the first three rounds, and then the last day becomes match play over six holes.
Yes, well summated. It's a tricky betting event, though, obviously, because you could pick somebody who wins the stroke play by 10 shots and then goes out in the first attempt at match play. There is a slight reward for those who finish in the top eight, because there's 24 go through to the match play, so they've somehow got to knock it down to a 16 that divides, so you get 16, 8, 4, 2, 1. So the top eight players do get a bye in the first stage of match play, but even then they could go out in the last 16, having won the 54-holer by 10. So it is hard to pick someone out. Ironically, the guy who won the 54-hole or was leading, Brett Rumford last year, went on to win, so you didn't get that, that's not fair.
Yeah.
It worked out nicely, but I'm not so sure that's going to happen again.
Yeah, I mean, it was the first ever version of this, wasn't it, last year?
And
it went to type, if you like. He played well for the first three days.
Yeah.
And then still won the tournament. So in that respect, it kind of, there was no hard luck story, if you like.
Yeah, exactly. But the beaten finalist, Kang Watmai, he finished 24th and last of the qualifiers. Yeah. So that, on the other hand, he did show that you can scrape in and still finish runner-up despite finishing however many strokes behind other players in stroke play.
We've got a couple of interesting additions this year as well. We'll look at the betting in a moment, but Lee Westwood and Andrew Beef Johnson going to take part this year. And Westwood talking up his chances. I've been reading a little bit about him. He's looking forward to it. He thinks it'll suit his game. So
yeah, he played really well for one round at least in Asia last week. What, shot 62. Suddenly, wow, there's Westwood. It always seems to play well in Asia. I think they once asked him why, and he said, I like rice. There's got to be more to it than that, surely.
If that's the case, just eat rice when you go everywhere else.
Yeah, and there's the cracked it, yeah. There's rice in Australia, don't they? But he's not played in Australia for a long, long time. So whereas you always think, oh, when he goes to Asia, he will perform well. Here, it's a bit more guesswork. I mean, if you look at the, you'll go through the betting in a minute, but if you look at that betting, it's 22-1 the field.
Isn't it is.
And that shows what sort of event we're looking at.
Yes.
He is in there, isn't he, obviously, at 25.
Yeah, he's towards the head of the market. Yeah. Finished 11th in the end last week in Malaysia, so it was not a bad performance.
Good effort, yeah.
David Lipsky is the favourite, though, 22-1. A 22-1 favourite, you don't say that very often. Or 22-1 joint favourite, yes. Which is even less. Ryan Fox also up there towards the top of the market. Jason Scrivener, 25-1 with Kiradek. Afim Barnrat, 25s as well for Lee Westwood. And Satoshi Kodera. Thorbjørn Olesen, also 25s. Then it's 28s for Brett Rumford, last year's winner. Paul Peterson, 28s. Andrew Johnston is 33-1 with Hideto Tanihara and Lucas Herbert. Scott Vincent, Seung-Soo Han and Yasuka Miyasato. Doing well with these.
Well done.
All in there at the 33-1 and then 40s or bigger for the rest. Obviously, need to tread with a little bit of caution with this market, but is there anyone in that? I mean, anyway, there's got to be some value in there at those kind of prices.
There will be.
In theory, but, yeah.
In theory, yeah, but it's hard to find. And as I say, just that feeling that someone could dominate at stroke play and then just get done. Because the problem is it's not even 18-hole match, but it's 6 holes. I mean, anyone... I mean, I could possibly fluke... No, I couldn't, actually. But a kind of really average player could beat a very, very good player over 6 holes. They can beat him over 18, but 6... A bad bounce here, a misput there, and it's suddenly the whole game is switched. Mm. But we do have a way, don't we?
We do. We have another way in because on the William Hill website, if you click on the tournament betting for this, you'll see to make the match play stage, so you're effectively having somebody to finish top or to finish in the top 20 for the first 3 days,
aren't you? Top 24 goes through. But yeah, the prices, if you look at them, they are very similar to the top 20 sort of prices you generally see on a week-to-week tournament. So I think that is a safer way to play this. If you've got an opinion on someone playing really well just in the stroke play stage, which is just the normal week-to-week thing we get in golf, then you've got your chance there. And I much prefer to play that than, say, have that feeling that someone's going to play great at stroke play and then just get done by some daft bounce in match play.
Yeah. Who would you pick in that market then?
So I would look at the front end of that. So basically, we've got to do is get someone to finish in the top 24. It doesn't seem that hard. So I'm certainly going to look at Ryan Fox. He is 10-11. Aussie player should really have made the knockout stage or the 24-man field for the match play stage last time. Made a real mess of the playoff for the 24th and final place. I could just remember watching that thinking, how has he not got through? He was really, he was slapping his club against his... foot. He was just furious with himself, but he is one of the classier players, a Kiwi player, and I just like the fact he's coming to this one having finished tied third in Malaysia last week. I think that sets him up really well, Ryan Fox, and there's no reason at all why he can't get in that top 24 and then take it from there. I suppose I might just put half a point on him in the outrights, because if he does get there and then goes on to win, I'll feel...
Yeah, you've got to have a
all
say
that,
there,
and I've got a 10-11 winner. So I think with that, I'll play 2 points at 10-11 to make the match play stage, and then I'll just chuck half a point on him winning.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see the sense in that. I'm going to throw one at you, a big prize here. It's not a tip because I'm not doing any tips.
Well, go on.
But how about, it's a rather dull selection.
Go on.
Yeah. His name is Adam Bland. That's right, it's a dull selection. 80-1. He got to the semi-finals of this last year. Lost in the semi-finals. He brings decent form into the tournament. And he did all right here last year. 80-1, I just thought, is that too big? Is that a decent price?
He's one I looked at. If you look at the 16 players who contested the match play after the first round of it, I think 11 of them were Aussies. Mm. So sometimes you go to, you know, overseas and you think, oh, the odd local player will play well, but there's enough good foreign players or probably who are better than them normally. But on their own patch of land, they can punch above their weight. So Adam Bland is certainly one who could do well. And as you said, he played really well in this last year to get to the semis.
Yeah, maybe one to consider then at a big price. But the main tip really from the podcast will be, we'll go with Dave. Ryan Fox, 22-1 in the outright and 10-11 to reach the match play stages. Let's move on to the other tournament, the big tournament of the week over in California, the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. I was doing a bit of research about this and I was astounded to hear that this was first hosted by Bing Crosby of all people.
Yeah. Some people still refer to it as the Bing Crosby.
Yeah. $7.4 million in the tournament. It's played across three different courses, the Pebble Beach, Spyglass and Monterey Peninsula's shore course. So 3 days, three different courses.
And then back to Pebble for the final round. Absolutely stunning scene. I've been lucky to have gone to this course. Mike Grenham had gone as well. If you see some of the TV footage, it's just glorious.
Yeah.
And they're in for beautiful weather as well. So sometimes this event has been kind of ruined by foul weather that you get over there. But it's meant to be glorious, the forecast this week, which will have an impact on who I select, actually.
Right. Yeah, because with it being a links course next to the slopes next to the sea, isn't it? So
yes.
You get a lot of wind sometimes and so on and so forth. I'm guessing if that's not there, it's a more fair course.
I think so, and there's no chance that... The weather forecast is set fair all week, so there's not a chance you'll be on the wrong side of the draw. I think it's just going to be... It's there for everyone just to go out and play their best golf without these other elements getting involved.
Okay. In terms of the players, then let's go through the betting.
Very strong, isn't it, that field?
Yeah, very strong indeed. Dustin Johnson, the market leader at 6-1. Jason Day, 10-1 with John Rahm. Rory McIlroy also 10s. Jordan Spieth, 11s. 25-1, Gary Woodland. Phil Mickelson, 25-1. Paul Casey, 28-1. 33s for Brant Snedeker and Matt Kuchar. Pat Pires also 33s, and then we go up to 40-1 or bigger prices for the remainder. You can see why Dustin Johnson's at the top of the market here, can't you? He's the world number one. He's a two-time winner of this event, and he also finished third last year and fourth back in 2015. He loves it at the event,
Absolutely.
And he's the world number one. So he's got to be favourite, inevitably, haven't he?
Yeah, and he should have won the US Open there as well. Yeah. I think he was three clear going into the final day and made a complete mess of it. But it's a course where he's excelled. If you look through the list of winners as well, think of everyone as an iconic golfer and they've got to win there. Jack Nicklaus, Tom Watson, they've all won there. So the cream does rise to the top.
Hmm. What about your pick then? Would you go with a favourite or would you try and find
a bit close, but I'm going to go with one of the favourites. I'm going to go with Rory.
Okay.
I just think it's time now. He's had these two events in the desert. Really, really played well. I think he... ever so slightly surprised himself how well I mean, he had 3 months off. Mm. So to come back, he was hoping to maybe a top 10 and a top 5, but third and second, 40 under par for those 8 rounds. That's some going. Mm. And I know he always loves desert golf, but he's won an Open Championship. He's won a USPGA at Kiawah Island by the coast. There's no reason why he can't join this kind of celebrated list of winners at Pebble Beach. And as I said before about the weather forecast, I know Rory's done some good stuff in bad weather, but I always prefer him when he can just have a nice, glorious bit of sunshine, just nothing to upset those beautiful drives and towering irons that get blown off course. I just think it's a really good venue for him to do what he needs to do, and that is get a win. I think he'll just be inspired by the kind of the history of the event and the scenery and the location. I just think it's all set there for Rory to go out and remind us just what a player he is.
Yeah.
A 10-1. I mean, he's similar price to win the Masters, so it's... I know it's a good field, but it's not the Masters field, is it? So I think a double-figure price is fair enough.
All right. Rory McIlroy, 10-1, then the main pick in that Pebble Beach betting. mention a few other players in there. We'll get you, are you. Have you got more than one pick for this? Or you...
Yeah, I've got one other at 40s.
Okay. Should we get that out now?
Or yeah,
should we tease them and come back to it? We'll tease them and come
we'll
back
tease.
To it.
Okay.
Let's talk about a few other towards the top end of the market. What do you make of Jordan Spieth at the moment? Because he's 11-1, obviously the defending champion in this event. But he missed the cut last week. Is that just a bad week or is he struggling for form?
Well, it's his putting. I mean, the one thing that everyone thinks separates him from the pack is his putting. And people said, oh, if that goes, then he's no good. But that's far too simplistic. But without doubt, with any of the top guys, if they're not putting well, they can't complete the job. They can all hit it lovely. I mean, his ball striking stats have been brilliant, but for anybody, if the putting doesn't back it up, you're going to struggle. I know it's a bit of an exaggerated case of that by missing the cut last week, but I just think there's a few doubts over him at the moment with that putting stroke until he sorts it out. So I'm prepared to swerve him this week.
Okay.
Of the kind of five at the top there, he's probably the one I least like.
Interesting. One other I want to mention, probably on behalf of Alex, I'm doing this in the spirit of Alex.
Okay.
It has to be Phil Mickelson, doesn't it? Because he put him up last week. Four-time winner of this event, fifth at the Phoenix Open. Last week, he first lifted this trophy back in 1998.
I know, yeah.
His last win came in 2012. Great longevity, if nothing else, but could he have a chance of lifting it again at 25?
Yeah, 20 years on. He certainly could. As I say, four-time winner. Should have won it 2 years ago as well. So it's not like it's all old form.
Yeah.
He still goes there and thinks this is a wonderful place for him and I can still thrive. The slight problem you've got as a punter maybe, he's half the price that he was last week.
Yeah.
And this is a better field. So if you played him last week, it might be difficult to accept that contrast, but if you forget what he was last week, just pretend he wasn't. If you're just judging it on 25-1 on the back of a fifth place on a course he's won four times, and you might think 25, that's okay.
Yeah. Oh, if you look at it from the perspective, you back yourself at a bigger price to tee them up for this, you take a shorter price as the trade-off for being in better form.
Yeah, because you know before last week he wasn't. You were guessing on some form appearing. Well, he's now got it in the bank.
Yeah.
So like you say, it's one of the things of betting, isn't it?
It is.
Do you predict it or do you follow the hot form? So I certainly think with Mickelson, now he's sort of knocking on a bit, it's not a bad idea just to go for him at his favourite courses, and this absolutely is one of them.
Mm. Let's get this 40-1. Bit of value going on there.
Yes.
The carrot has been dangled for long enough.
Okay. It's Patrick Reed at 40-1. Just someone who's took an instant shine to Pebble Beach, seventh there on debut, four more goes since then, 13th, 29th, 6th, 23rd. So never worse than 29th in five starts at Pebble. It is a bit of a, I think everybody loves Pebble, everyone will say that's my favourite course, but I think in terms of form, it can be a bit Marmite. You get the same players who love it and others who kind of want to play well there, but it just doesn't really happen for them. But he goes there every time and thinks, I'm probably going to get in the mix. With two rounds played at Pebble, obviously it helps that his best round a couple of years ago was a 65 at Pebble Beach on the final day, which got him into the top six. And that's good enough for an each way payout. We're a fifth, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So we would have got a payout a couple of years on Patrick Reed. And then he's just in some nice form as well. 17th last week on the back of a 23rd, 10th a couple of starts before that. So he's, as they say, rounding into nice form. So for a 40-1 shot, he's a proven winner. Got that real... I always think I like him when in elite fields because he's got this real burning competitive spirit. So if he's maybe in the final group with McIlroy or Day, he'll love that rather than kind of go, ugh. I'm the sort of weak element here. He'll love that. We've seen him in the Ryder Cup. He just loves the competition. Where's that red of Tiger on the final day? I just think that's a decent price, 40-1, when he's got all those little elements going for him.
Yeah, yeah, I like it. So Rory at 10s and Patrick Reed at 40s, the two picks for Dave here in the AT&T Pebble Beach. Any you don't want to see win or any you'd almost put up but you just couldn't quite do or, you know, those kind of angles?
Yeah,
this?
I guess we've talked about Mickelson. If he won, I'd go a bit... We talked about it. Why didn't we act on it? John Rahm was fifth here on his debut last year, 10-1.
Yeah.
He's been winning so many times recently. That would surprise absolutely nobody. if he went in again. Jason Day won at Torrey Pines a couple of weeks ago. You've seen players win there and at Pebble, are both California on Poana greens. And he's got a good record. I think he's got four top sixes here. And obviously DJ, Dustin Johnson, if he wins, that is kind of the least, you know, unsurprising thing ever. A couple further down, who I don't mind the look of, at 66, Jason Kokrak. He's got some nice form there. I think Pat Perez, who was runner-up on his debut there in 2002, always has gone back there, played well, especially in recent years. And he's now 19th in the world. I think people may be surprised by that. I think he's still someone, you know, maybe top 40 or so. But he's 19th in the world, Pat Perez, so he could go well. Shane Lowry, the Irishman, loves it there. Mm. Graham McDowell won the last US Open, played there, so the Irish have got a little link there. But if there's an Irishman who's going to shine, it's Rory McIlroy.
Of course.
We can't desert Rory. So in terms of a staking plan on that one, I'm going to go 2 points win Rory at 10s, and I'll go a point each way, Patrick Reed at 40s.
All right, so that's the picks in the AT&T Pebble Beach to go along with Ryan Fox, the nomination to either make the match play stage or have a little bit of a saver in the tournament market. For the Handa ISPS, Handa World Super 6. Don't even have a catchy name.
Yeah. But,
yeah.
Strange tournament all around, that one, to be honest. And you probably won't see any of it because it'll be in the night. Although
yes.
It's not as bad as at Perth, remember, from the Ashes series. You can see a bit of that.
Yeah, I didn't.
Because did you
not? I'm still in bed.
All right.
Yeah.
Because it is the nearer coast to us. So
yes.
You will see a bit of it, but... Yeah, it's a strange event. There was a mixed reaction to it last year. I think people sometimes think, well, golf's quite good, isn't it? You don't really need to come up with these daft formats. But
yeah, it's something different anyway.
Something different.
If you want something different, you've got that. If you want the classy tournament
where
we see all the stars out, then you've got the Pebble Beach. Good stuff.
And we will be in play, obviously, in all four rounds. So if you're thinking, oh, I'm not going to do anything pre-tournament, you can maybe just wait until the match play stage and then go in.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good angle as well, really, isn't it? I suppose you've whittled your field down to...
Whittled your field. You've seen how they've played over 3 days, and you might get some clues, and then it's a complete loss. Even though you can apply some logic to it, so we'll see. Hopefully it'll go well, and hopefully just you get a proper winner.
Mm.
A fairness prevails.
Well, it's been a pleasure, Dave. Thank you very much. Good luck.
Cheers, Mark.
Enjoy the action this week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.